Johnny joined up and Jimmy was there.
And George got a sergeant's rating.
Don't give your right name, the army don't care.
And the life is so fascinating.
Let's all go Barney, live off the army, see the world we never saw.
If we get feeling down,
we wander into town.
And if the population
should greet us with indignation,
we chop them to bits because we like our hamburgers raw.
Johnny drank up till he's got caved in.
And Jimmy did not drink tea.
And George replied with a right to the chin.
For the army is just a pink tea.
Let's all go Barney, live off the army, see the world we never saw.
If we get feeling down,
we wander into town.
And if the population
should greet us with indignation,
we chop them to bits because we like our hamburgers raw.
Johnny is missing, Jimmy is dead,
and George went crazy shooting.
But blood is blood, and red is red,
and the army is still recruiting. Let's all go Barney, live off the army, see the world we never saw. If we get feeling down, we wander into town, and with the population to greet us with indignation, we chop to bits because we like our hamburgers raw.
Aha. And Phil Conant is here so that he can explain it to us. That's Kurt Weill and Bert Brecht, right? Threepenny. Yeah,
yes, it is. But I got to ask you a question. Have you ever seen any soldiers eat their hamburgers raw?
Have I ever done what?
Ever seen any soldiers? Oh, you were a Marine. So
yeah. I don't know anything about soldiers. Go ahead.
Did Marines eat their hamburgers raw?
Did they eat
hamburgers?
Yes.
That are raw.
I reckon they did. Yes. They did a lot of things. They ate a lot of things. Yes, this was written, after World War One, and that everything was raw. Everybody was being very honest. By the way, if you want a reference, the best historical precision account of the soldiers of the time, read The Good Soldier, Schreck. I was reading Schreck the other day, and I realized Schreck and I had been in the same military. Actually, Army, Marines, it's all pretty much... when you're the ordinary guy,
Schreck was in
sometimes
the,
called suckers. Go ahead.
Schreck was in the Austro-Hungarian army. I guess it would have been called, right?
Hasek, the author,
right? It was a Czech, but of
he's
course,
a Bohemian. Yes,
that's right. Well, a Bohemian, but of course they were fighting because they were under the Emperor of Austria.
Right. He was considered insane because he'd been. They'd learned about the assassination of the Archduke, and he was looking at a poster headline, and he said, "Long live the Emperor," or something like that. And they decided he must be insane. He's a Bohemian, and he cares about the Archduke of Austria. Give me a break. I mean, they thought, "What are you up to, Schreck? There's some kind of a what are you?" Schreck had the perfect argument, and he's a saint around the Taylor Report. Believe me, we're going to put pictures up of him. But Sergeant, I always want to make him a sergeant. I'm not sure he ever made sergeant.
No, he's a private.
He's a good soldier, Schreck.
Yeah.
Anyway, because he always smiled and cooperated when they knew that he was a Bohemian and a Czech, they were suspicious of him. They had the doctors who looked at him once in a while said, "You're a malingerer." Even though he said, "I want to go. I'm ready to kill, kill, kill. I'm ready." And they said, "Well, it's some kind of a trick." So they examined him, and he had already been in the army, by the way. Schreck had previously served. But he wasn't, in their view, a good soldier. And they had decided he was an idiot, that he was mentally not up to it. So when World War I began, and he went down and on his crutches, saying, even though I have bad knees, I'm ready to go. They thought that he was making fun of them. they said, they examined him, and the top doctor said, you're a malingerer. I think you're a malingerer. And Schveck said, I beg your pardon, sir. I am not a malingerer. You can see the report. I'm a certified idiot. Don't call me a malingerer. I'm an idiot, and I can prove it. I mean, that's when the fun began. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM, speaking of idiots and in World War One and Two, and the current fighting. I'm going to call this a fun fact. We're all for NATO. Everybody here is NATO. We point that out. NATO. So the Hans Asmus was a lieutenant in the German Air Force, and he is one of the two or three officers who targeted Guernica for destruction. They destroyed Guernica. They bombed the blazes out of it. There was no air defense. Pablo Picasso is your reference. Go and look it up. That was on April 26, 1937. So Hans Asmus. Fun fact, he became a commander of NATO Air Force Baltic.
That's how he ended his career.
That's a commander of NATO Air Force Baltic. He's the guy who said, there's your target, and they blew it to smithereens.
Now, of course, at that time,
I can't hurt anybody's
there was
feelings.
No place in the Baltic that was part of NATO.
Well, no, but yeah. the Baltics but, is a region. Isn't
right,
it, you know?
Yeah, but of course that means...
Are you saying we shouldn't have promoted him? I mean...
Well, I'm saying...
I'd
they,
like to address
no,
the
I'm
fact
they
that
knew
NATO,
their guy. They
he
had
made
the,
a career in NATO.
They knew their guy. They said, that's the guy we want if it ever gets
well,
hot.
Well, just as, and we'll, on a funereal note, and apropos, Mr. Abe has died, and there's a lot of talk about him. Of course, he's an important political figure. I got it. He was assassinated. I'm sorry about that. But I'm not going to play games and pretend that he was anything other than what he was. And the Globe and Mail did a very interesting piece, published it by Peter McGill, a British journalist, and he was in Japan for 19 years. He says, well, you know, what was his calling card? Abe was somebody who we wanted to liked because of his strong stand in countering China's military might. So that's why we like him. That's what they tell us. Well, his grandfather also was interested in China because he, for 10 years, was Tojo's man in Manchuria. He called it Manchukuo. And they slaughtered Chinese. I mean, so it's interesting. You get this kind of stuff. Abe's grandfather, whose name is Nobusuke Kishi, ruler of, quote, Manchukuo, he was a member of Tojo's cabinet and minister of munitions. He was a Class A war criminal. That would interest our fathers. Phil and others, who a lot of Canadians ended up dead, tortured, and they're not too fond of Class A war criminals. The Americans decided that instead of prosecuting him, he was held for 3 years. They let him out, and he became the leader of what they call the Liberal Democratic Party, which is actually a conservative party. And he was closely associated with the Unification Church and the Reverend Moon. Another fun detail from the Globe and Mail article is that he said he found this kind of shocking. The assassin, by the way, was someone who said that his mother's life savings was taken by that church and they had fought in courts and hadn't gotten it back. The assassin had a personal grudge. At any rate, the author of this article, the Globe and Mail, on Saturday, July 16, said that He once went to a Unification Church conference presided over by the Reverend Moon. And lo and behold, sitting next to the Reverend Moon was Edward Heath, a former Prime Minister of Britain, and a guy we all know, Ed Schreyer, a former, he had some kind of title. He used to be the UN representative of Canada.
Yeah.
And so the author said, I asked Edward Heath why he was there. And he said the answer was, how dare you? And I would say to him, being a true follower of Brecht, yeah, why did you ask him? Why didn't you tell him why he was there? It has something to do with money. But that's who we got. Now, the other thing is, and I tell listeners all the time, listen up because I'm tired of this. We need to do some denazification ourselves, defascistization ourselves. There's a cemetery where they keep the Shinto generals, the ones who were Class A war criminals, like Abe's grandpa. No one goes there. The emperor does not go there. It's considered, don't do that. But Abe went. So if you like Mr. Abe, I want to ask you, do you care at all about the Canadians who died at the hands of the Japanese? How about all the Filipinos and the Americans who died in the Long March? Does that interest you at all? The Chinese who were slaughtered by Abe's grandpa, and they go and celebrate. I'm talking about the criminals. I'm not talking about the ordinary Japanese. I'm talking about the Class A criminals, those guys. Abe visited. One other guy went there that you would appreciate, Phil, to the forgotten land of the Class A war criminals. That's the Dalai Lama, I would say.
Of course.
Yeah, buy some chewing gum and think it over. This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. Hey, we will see you next week.